9 in your Bibles, and we'll stand for the reading of God's Word as soon as you find it. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. It's New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. Again, we came here for church and for God to work in our hearts, and I'm asking God to speak to our hearts today. And I always think of it this way. We come to church so God can speak to our hearts. We want God to do something, and I trust He will in our life today. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, and He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he shall gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray today that you would speak to us from your word. Lord, show us what we need to know. Father, I pray if there's one here today without Christ, you might show them their need to trust Christ as Savior. Speak to us, we pray. Lord, draw us unto yourself. Encourage the Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Memorial Day weekend is the weekend in which we remember those who have given their lives that others may live. And I'm very thankful for our military. With our military personnel, those of you who are active duty, would you please stand up? Would you please stand up? I'd like for the folks to see you. These are military active duties. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. You may be seated. If you are a veteran and you have served in the past, whatever branch it is, would you please stand up? I'd like for the folks to see you. All right, let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. God bless you. Memorial Day weekend is a time in which we remember that. We thank God for the people who have served our country and who are currently serving our nation. They would be willing to give their life if that's what it took, that others may be protected and live. The fact is that Jesus Christ, the Bible said, gave his life that others may live. And the fact is that when he did die, he died for all of mankind, not just for some of mankind. Without his death on the cross, there would be no life for any of us. And Jesus taught that in principle in John chapter 12, where he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Jesus was teaching a lesson here to his disciples, here in the passage I just read to you. He was teaching them about life. But it's an apparent paradox, because what he was teaching is that life begins when we die. Now, death is something we all want to avoid at all costs. It's built within us. We want to ignore it. We want to pretend as if it's never going to happen, though we all have to be honest and know that all of us are going to die one day. I mean, we hate death. We don't even want to think about it. But yet, Jesus turns to his disciples right in the middle of all of this, and he addresses this very subject. He wants them to understand what life is, the true meaning and value of life, what heaven-sent life is. And he tells them this. He tells them that they must be prepared to lose their life. Paul Tripp says this in regards to what Jesus is trying to teach. He says, "The little kingdom promises life, but it brings death. The big kingdom requires your death, but it brings your life." I think he's got it right on the money. Because that's exactly what Jesus is teaching. A servant of God is one that knows he must die first. Death brings life. Death gives life. That's what Jesus is teaching. And so when Jesus is addressing his disciples as they are to be his servants, and as you know, our theme this year has been serving the Savior, Jesus is telling us so that we can understand that if we are going to serve him, we must die. And I want us to look at that very truth, so that death brings life. If you would please notice with me, there are three principles that Jesus teaches here. All three of them stand out very clearly. Here it is. You can write this down. Number one, there's a deception of living. There's a deception of living. In fact, in your bulletin, I've given you some notes, and you can just fill in the blanks if you would like, if you want to follow with me. But there's a deception of living. Life has its deception. And let me help you understand this. You write it down. Letter A, there is the pretense of life. There's the pretense of life. And no place is better seen than when we turn to Genesis chapter 3. Can I get you to go with me to Genesis 3? I want you to see this. There is a pretense of life. Satan best illustrates it in the Garden of Eden. And he shows us in this passage what a pretense of life is. Here we have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. By the way, they were literally in the Garden of Eden. They were real people. They were not like, you know, just somebody that we name Adam and Eve. They were literally two people. And they were husband and wife. God had placed them in the garden. Adam was doing his job. They were serving the Savior. Here's what took place. Here's what took place. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, we go and we look and know what it says in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, here's the conversation between Satan in the form of a serpent to the woman. He said, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. That's what Eve said. And then the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Let me ask you a question. Is that true or false? False. That's what she said. You're not going to die. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. There it is, life. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. All right, here's the deception. Watch this. The pretense of death is that when you look at it, death masquerades itself as life. In other words, it comes out and says, look, you just don't know what living is until you really get into what life is. No doubt about it. That's the deception. Life can be deceiving. What it is that death masquerades as life, and quite frankly, we find ourselves falling into the trap. The writer of Proverbs says it like this, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. You see, man has a flawed thinking. Man's thinking is this, that you know, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. I can live this way. I can do this thing. I can, whatever. Man just follows the trap right in to death. It's like the dog. You know, you take a dog and you put a dog out on a lead or something. And if you're not careful, you know, that dog can pick up a trail and he'll follow that trail right out in the middle of the road and get himself killed. That's exactly how we are sometimes. Because what happens is we find ourselves, we're wanting to follow our own ways. And the Bible says that when a man follows his own way, he's following what he thinks to be life. But that life is only masquerading itself because its end is death. That's the deception. I mean, no doubt about it. That's what he says. Death comes across that way. And when you go to Genesis there in Genesis chapter 3, he shows us that that's exactly what the issue is there with Eve and what she and Adam, when they ate of the tree. You see, there's a confusion of death. That's the second point I want you to write down. There's the confusion. Quite frankly, we have a hard time because we're trying to discern, because if we have within this life that we live the portrayal of life as being death and death as being life, we have a hard time discerning the difference. We have a hard time to make the right choice. Let me explain. For example, we live in a world today where they say that drinking alcohol is a normal way of life. I mean, I don't know, years ago, I don't know they still have it on TV. I haven't seen it on TV, but they used to have a commercial that says, where they all the guys go out and they're sitting in the back of a boat and they're drinking Budweiser and they say, life just doesn't get any better than this. That's a deception. That's a deception. Wish you could have been with me this week when we had to pull the plug of a 38-year-old man who had drank himself literally to death. Wish you could have been with me when I've been out on scenes where we picked up people and brought them to the hospitals because of the fact that they were drinking. And people have the idea, well, you know, it's just normal way of life. Look, let me tell you something. That's a confusion because that's not life. That's leading us to death. And God says that in Proverbs chapter 23. He says, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of the eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to the mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. See, that's how life portrays. Adultery is portrayed as normal in life. Adultery is just looked upon, and yet we don't realize, but those who are looking at it, they're robbing themselves of their spiritual life. Proverbs says it like this: the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. In other words, when you follow that pathway, when you go after that pathway, what you're basically doing is you're not living, you're dying. It's killing us. Our country is dying because we think that somehow or another we're living when we're really dying. We're killing ourselves. Riches portray themselves as being life. How many times have I been to seminars or other places where I said, boy, if you just had a lot of money, you'd start living. Is that right? Is that why we have so many suicides down in Hollywood and places like that where people have so much money? Is that really what it is? Jesus had talked to the rich young ruler who thought that he could purchase life, and he thought he could buy life. That's what he thought. I'm going to buy my living. And he worked hard and so on and so forth. And here's what Jesus said. He said to him, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? What he's saying is this, look. Folks, we have to be careful. Jesus is sounding a warning. Jesus is saying this. Don't buy into the fact that death brings life as it masquerades itself in the things of this world. That's not what Jesus is talking about. And there's a deception about living. Because sin does not bring life. Sin brings death. Sin brings the end result, and the end result is death. And life can be very deceiving. But then Jesus gives us then something else in this passage in Luke chapter 9. I want you to look at, how are we doing? Are you following me? It's so apparent. We live in a real world, and we see it all around us, and we're watching what goes on, and what Jesus is telling us is very practical, it's very relevant, because he said it's true that death masquerades itself as life, and then he tells us that we must be determined to die. The determination of dying. So what do we die to then? Certainly we don't want to commit spiritual suicide. We certainly do not want to take our own spiritual life away from us because we bought into the lie that Satan told Eve back in the Garden of Eden that by doing your own thing and living your own life and following your own pathway and doing all those things that you're living when really you're dying, we're not to buy into that. Then what are we to die to? First of all, we're to die to the priority of self. That's what Jesus is saying. Die to yourself. He said in verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We are driven to spend time on what we want and what is important to us. We are building our own lives, our own empire. We invest money, we invest gifts, we invest energies, we invest our resources in the pursuit of whatever is for us. It's self-indulgence. It's self-will. It's self-purpose. And what Jesus is saying is, don't live your life that way. Life is not about us. One man wrote that words and what Jesus was teaching, I think it stood out. It said these words, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that when I kneel to pray, my prayer be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like Thee. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I've done for You must be needs done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like Thee. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like Thee. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, I will forget the crowns I've won and praise my Lord with others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like Thee. That's what Jesus is saying. It's the death of self-priority. I'm dying to me. But then, second of all, he's telling them to death to the pursuit of our lives. He who sacrificed his life for me allows me to live for him. His death shows us that we must die to ourselves. What are we to die to? Are there things in our life we're to die to? Sure. All of us have those things. How about money? We have to die to money. You know, if you ask the American person right now, what is the number one major concern? And they'll say economy. That's the number one major concern. You ask the average Christian, what's the number one major concern? What they'll say? Money. You know what God says the number one major concern for me? Our relationship with Him. Let me ask you a question. Can God provide our money? Can God take care of our needs? Yes. I mean, if we're obedient to God, if we're going to die, then we ought, why don't we just die to it all? Why don't we just die to self and die to my priorities and die to my life and die to those things and say, dear God, I just want to die in such a way that I can live for You. That's what it's about. That's what Jesus is telling His disciples. Now, can I be honest with you? It's not easy. You think it was easy for a soldier to go to the battlefield and fight the battle? No. In fact, Paul writes about that in 2 Timothy where he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I hope you'll come back. Tonight at 6:30, I'll be preaching a message entitled The Qualities of a Great Servant. And I'm going to be taking that same passage I just quoted to you right out, and I'm going to show you how that works. I couldn't think of a better weekend to do it than the Memorial Day weekend. But if you look here, the Bible said that if I'm going to die then, I want to die not because of sin, but I want to die because of service. And I want to die to my life, my self-priorities, death to the pursuit of my plan. Whose plan are you following today? Christ calls us to die to self-rule. God has a plan. He has an agenda for you and for me. Whose plan are you following? We're not to live any longer for ourselves. We're not to be our own lords. We're to let Jesus Christ be our Lord. We must point our children to His will as well. I want to make sure that my kids are pointed that direction. We want to make sure that all of our kids are pointed that direction. See, it's about Him now. We're to die to the pursuit of our plan. The New York Times reported back in 2004 about an officer and his dog, Master Blaster. Interesting name, wouldn't you think? Master Blaster. He'd become very famous because he was a bomb-seeking dog. And what happened is that they become famous because that in Virginia and the Washington area, they had been known for finding bombs in malls. They had gotten local news coverage and everyone just thought they were heroic, and they had gotten special citations for their great work. But it got to the troopers or to the police officer's head. His notoriety became a part of what he was, and wasn't long before down the road he was found that he had, through a hidden camera, they had recorded that he was literally taking bombs and placing them in places and taking his dog out. And they would find a bomb that he had placed there just because he wanted people to think he was that great. And he had admitted to it. He said, "I had no intention of hurting anyone." He said, "I guess I just wanted to enhance my image." See, it was all about him. Selfish ambition can be one of the most powerful driving forces that a human being deals with, yet it can be the most destructive. And God says here that we are not to live for ourselves, and we're not to build our own ambitions. We're not to do that. Now that doesn't mean that we can't be a good worker and work hard and serve God and do all that we best we can. But the driving number one motivation for every servant of God is not for me, it's for Him. That's what He's talking about. So when I look at it, number one, I realize there's a deception of life. There's no doubt about it. Life can be deceiving. And there's no doubt that that's there. But then there also, there's a determination to die. But then there's one more thought I want to give you. And though we're to die day by day, moment by moment, to please our Savior, there's one more. The third principle is the declaration of truth. Here it is. I'll give it to you real quick. This is the most amazing paradox in the Bible. Here's what it is. Write it down. Number one, you save your life, you lose it. Letter B, you lose your life, you save it. Now, I don't quite understand that. Okay, here's what it is. You try to save your life, you're going to lose it. Sin causes my heart to be ruled by personal desires. Sin causes me to do whatever I want, my goal, my purpose, my aim. The Bible says that when I try to do that and hang on to that, I'm losing my life. I'm losing it. When I live for that, I'm losing it. That's what Jesus is teaching. You try to save your life, you'll lose it. The more you hang on to it, the more you're going to lose it. Because you hang on to it, if you're not careful, you hang on to it, because what it is we're going to hang on to self. That's what Jesus is teaching. Well, it's really quiet this morning. Hopefully I'm connecting. You guys ever feel this way? Amen? Because that's the way it is, and we notice that the more we hang on, the more we try, and the more we give this world, and the more what we're doing is we're actually losing life. I mean, the more I put into my life, the more pollution I put in my life, the more sin I allow in my life, the more of these things, I'm not saving my life, I'm not living my life, I'm losing my life. That's what Jesus is saying. And Jesus wants them to understand that. And I believe that what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is this: if you want to start living, living starts when we die. And that begins the moment we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. You know the reason why Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins is so that we can be saved and go to heaven? He gave us life. He died that we might be able to live. Just as a soldier who gave his life, and what we've had close to how many, 2,000 recently that have been killed in the wars that we've been in since 2011? 2,000, maybe we're up to 3,000, I'm not sure, I can't remember what the number, I read the number recently, but it is way up there. All those people, so that we can live. What the Bible says is that Jesus Christ gave his life so that you can live and go to heaven. And we have to die to ourselves. That's humbling. Have to be willing to say, you know, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I'm imperfect. I know that I can't save myself. I know that my religion or my church membership or my goodness, that's not good enough to get me to heaven. Lord, I have to admit I am a sinner, and the only way I can go to heaven is by putting my reliance and trust in you, Lord, and I trust you as my Savior. And that's what Jesus is saying here. We save our life, we lose it, or we lose our life, we'll save it. Christ is calling us to die to ourselves. His death is an offer of joy and satisfaction, purpose and pleasure in life. He calls us to die. And here's how it works. When I die, I'm no longer me anymore. I've got friends. I graduated in 1976. Can you believe that? I remember when, back in 1974, everyone was telling me that you probably are not going to see graduation because guess what's going to happen? The rapture is going to take place. In other words, the end of the world. Didn't happen last week. Didn't happen in 1976. They told me in 1976, you'll probably not graduate. And I thought, oh man, I'm not even going to get to graduate. What a bummer. I want to walk down there and get my high school diploma. I wanted to be able to see the person I was going to marry. I want to see the kids I have. That's a bummer. 1976. I remember, I graduated from high school. 1976, at that point in time, God had dealt with my heart about going into ministry. And I thank God for what he's done in my life and how he did that. Now here it is 35 years later, and we're having our 35th high school reunion. I'm not going. I don't want anyone to see me. No, I'm not going. I can't go. But what has happened is all the friends from 35 years ago are contacting me. You know how they do the big blitz, you know, Facebook, emails, letters, all the stuff, you know, trying to get you to come. So they all tell me, you know, you need to come, you need to come, you need to come. And you know, it's kind of funny because some of my friends wrote me back and says, man, you're not the same guy I knew. You're different. And I write back and say, I'm different on purpose. Because God has saved me and given me a home in heaven. Look, we're different on purpose. The Bible says it like this in Galatians chapter 2. He deals with the fact that when you and I got saved, and that's the whole purpose of this phrase right here, letter B, when he says you lose your life, you save it. Here's what it means. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, the Bible says. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Basically, what it means is this, that God is living in me. That no longer is it Rick Stone Street. It's not about Rick Stone Street. It's not about him. But my life is about Christ. That's what it means. You see, we're experts at saying something like this. Dear God, here's how I want to live my life. You bless it. We're real good about that. God says, no. No, I'm the Lord. You know, it's not about you kind of choosing the life you want to live and just ask me to bless it. No, I'm your Savior. I'm your Lord. Powerful words. Jesus is addressing directly to the heart of the matter. Death brings life. What am I to do then? Well, number one, if you never trusted Christ as Savior, I want to urge you to receive Christ today. I want you to call on Him and ask Him to be your Savior. He'll save you right where you are. You don't have to get better to get saved. You just get saved and God will make you better. Is there something you're holding on to in your life that's killing you spiritually? I mean, what is it that you're hanging on to? What is it that you're grasping so tightly that you just think that this is my life and I've got to have it, when God says, give it all up because I want to be the Lord of your life? Number three, what are you living for right now? What are you living for? Some people said, I'm just waiting to get retired. Ask retired folks. Ask them about it. They'll tell you, preacher, what he's saying is what Jesus said. That's what's right. Don't live for this world. Live for the next world. What steps do I need to take to have a full life Christ has for me? What's it he wants me to do? Maybe it's to join the church. Maybe it's to get baptized. Maybe it's to surrender some things in your life. Maybe it's just to get your kind of your priorities into perspective. Maybe it's just to make things right in your heart. Maybe make things right with somebody else. That's what God is saying. What a challenge. Life can be deceiving. All of you understand, death masquerades itself as life. You watch it. Watch what I'm saying. It's out there. Here's what the devil says. You shall not surely die. You're not going to die. Yeah. Yeah. The Bible says it this way. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Yeah, we're going to die. We're going to die physically one day, but the truth of the matter is, what Jesus is saying is, I want you to die spiritually. Personally, I want you to die. I mean, not spiritually. Personally, I want you to die. I want you to give up it all for me. When you do, then you live. Hard to imagine that, isn't it? Doesn't seem possible. But that's what God says. Don't cling to your life. Give it up, and then you'll save your life. That's the paradox. May God help us to make the right decision. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.